Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
They're doing the right thing. That's getting lost in this whole cloud of controversy over what they didn't get for Justin Fields and how they did him wrong. You know, when they say, and everybody, and this is not new, but you know, it's so easy to overlook the fact that, yeah, the Bears made mistakes and not structuring things to fit his skill set and all those things that we have litigated time and again and over and over. But that absolves too easily what Justin Fields' role it was in all of this. He didn't take that next step. He didn't do enough when the games were on the line. He didn't hit every open receiver, and he didn't do the things that would have made other teams tempted to want to trade for him, to be their starter, to be their guy. He was so explosive and so fun to watch, but the individual highlights never outweighed the passing inconsistency. That's the biggest problem with Justin Fields. That's his legacy. Yeah, great highlights. He had a great 6-game stretch. Terrific. But then what happened?
The inconsistency and the lack of success in game on the line moments. I told Mark Grody this afternoon that this topic has been so supercharged. And when I know we're going to do a podcast or when I know I'm going on the air, I start writing down notes. I filled up like 3 gas station receipts. We could talk about this for another week.
Get to the other points that you haven't gotten to. What have I not touched on? What do you think we all need to know?
I've got two. And if you'll indulge me for a couple minutes, sure. I've got 20, but these are the two that I think are most worthwhile of talking now. Let's stick here because there is a legitimate question that has been asked about why the Bears didn't wait longer to make the trade. And I'll turn that over to you in a second. There's two possible things that have been floated as hypotheticals for them. Number one, why not just wait until the draft gets here and have the opportunity to see if someone else gets desperate and gives you a higher payoff for the trade for Justin Fields? That's one. Number two is, why not just carry him into August and September or possibly October, and when a team loses their starter, you trade him and you hold a desperate team hostage and you get a bigger return on that? I think you and I have kind of documented the answer to that second question very, very significantly in the recent weeks and saying, like, look, that situation of creating that circus and that volume of noise in your building was never under consideration for the leaders at Hallis Hall of having those two guys share a practice field. But why not hold that pick or hold Justin Fields until the draft gets here and just see if a team that couldn't get itself what they wanted in late April would be willing to give you something there? What would you respond to that part of the question? Because I think that one is at least a legitimate question.
Okay, so say it again. So you're asking
why not wait to trade Justin Fields until the draft weekend arrived and you had an opportunity to see if someone else got a little bit more desperate and decided to offer you more than a conditional 6?
It goes back to, and again, you may think I'm naive here, but I think it goes back to the original goal. Your original goal was to get something in return. Your original goal, you're driven by the fact that as much as you respect and like the player, you've got to move on from the player. And once you've concluded internally that it's really not a feasible situation to have both guys in the quarterback room, and that is untenable, Dan, you're driven by, I don't want to say desperation, but urgency. There's an urgency. I sense that there was an urgency to get Justin Fields out, to move him so you can move on in every way. And I think that if you wait until the draft to do that, yeah, you might squeeze out a fourth rounder, a fifth rounder, maybe even a sixth rounder this year. But I just don't think that it's a risk worth taking because of what would happen if teams, as we know happens during the draft, everything's fluid and things change, and so maybe they aren't as impressed. So you get to the draft, everybody's taking their guys, and then, you know, nobody wants Justin still. Are you stuck with them?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Or you're probably stuck with them.
Or you say, hey, Pittsburgh, hey, can we get that conditional six that dropped us a month ago?
Unless they drafted,
but,
you know.
Maybe Pittsburgh wanted an answer, right? Yeah, exactly. And maybe they would use that. The other part of this is off-season programs for these teams will start in mid-April, a couple weeks before the draft. And so you could conceivably say, okay, Justin, just don't come back to the building there. But that's not doing right by him because he wants to work. He wants to get better. He wants to know what team he's playing for in 2024 and what offense he's playing in. So you are doing right by him by getting him some clarity and a chance to get himself going on that level going forward. So that's part of it. Now, this is the last question I have for you, because I think this is one that we will revisit as time goes on. I'm curious to know what you think the responsibility of the Chicago Bears organization is for messaging expectations for their next quarterback consistently and emphatically going forward. And I'll give you some context before you give me your thoughts on this. I'm driving home from crossover practices in Indianapolis last summer, driving back from Indianapolis up I-65, and I get a call from someone not on the football side of the building but connected to Hallis Hall. Said to me, where is this Justin Fields MVP talk coming from? And whoever started it needs to have their bleeping head examined. And I said, thank you. Like, that's what we've been trying to say on our airwaves and our podcast for a while, that it's just not a reasonable bar to set for this quarterback at this stage of his development with this stuff that's around him right now. And the fact that that conversation got out of control, I think created some of the emotions that have continued to crescendo and crest here. The season ends. I get a call from someone inside the building that says to me, I don't know how the messaging of the expectations for Justin Fields going into 2023 weren't handled better, because it created this situation where as the season went on, it was just a shouting match everywhere you went with people trying to point the fingers on why he didn't reach the level of expectation that people set for him, even though internally the thought was, well, we're just trying to see him make incremental growth here and progress to a level where he shows he can be a difference-making starter in this league. And so I'm just curious, because you know that the Caleb Williams experience in particular is going to be a spectacle. What is the responsibility of the Chicago Bears to be on top of that on a weekly basis to message to their world and their orbit what the proper expectations inside the building are for the quarterback so that people can set their radars and their calibration meters accordingly?
Well, if they're smart, they'll take control of it by trying to manage it as much as they can with Caleb Williams' team. It would be a mistake to try to alienate that team. And I would think that team would understand you want to slow play him into the league. There are going to be enough attention and enough things that are kind of oversized without having to add to it. You don't need to I would low key it if I were his team. And if I were the Bears, I would recommend that.
He's likely to be the odds on favorite to be the rookie of the year, the offensive rookie of the year, right?
Like, right. Make him available as much as the league mandates. Have some grace with some people that might want some extra time or whatever in terms of him. He's got established relationships in a new market. You don't want to alienate those relationships or sour them before they get started or become something that could be beneficial for everybody. I just think you have to take a very common sense approach, which the Bears don't often do, or haven't always done with superstar players or star caliber players. Once you do that, I think the rest is somewhat out of your control. I don't think I necessarily hold the Bears responsible for the oversized expectations with Justin Fields or things getting carried away. I think the fan base can think of and do whatever. It's fan is short for fanatic. If you want to think that you saw an MVP caliber possibility out of Justin Fields and you're a fan, go ahead and bet on FanDuel, whatever odds they are. I think what you're getting at, I don't know that you're getting at this, but I'll introduce it. The media that covers the Bears has to be more responsible in handling things professionally, because they're not fans. Now, there's a very blurry line, blurrier than ever, between fans and media. But I think as Caleb Williams, you know, gets set to arrive in Chicago, and we start to get past the Justin Fields era and all that represented, maybe you learn a lesson from that, and maybe you do take a step back, and maybe you're cautious and measured and more fair, and maybe that will be reflect a more responsible approach to seeing what we see and not seeing things we want to see.
You ever watch the Firefest documentary on Netflix?
No.
Okay.
Is that the audience, one with Tom Brady?
No. This
Kirk
is
Cousins
about a music festival that was advertised to be something that it certainly wasn't. And to our audience members that have seen that and understand that cultural phenomenon, I bring that up because it's the level of outrage that mushrooms up when oversized promises aren't kept is enormous, right? It's exponential, the level of anger and disappointment when you've been promised and sold something that was not possible all along. And so that's what I worry about. I ask this less from a media perspective as much as I ask it from an in-the-building perspective of what is the Bears' responsibility for having a pulse on that, for managing that. Like I talked to someone last week about the idea that you know, like Caleb Williams is going to be a phenomenon. You know what I mean? He's going to have national eyes on him every single day that he's a Chicago Bear. And there's a spectacle that comes with that. And within the spectacle that you're managing, how do you manage the expectations of what people are seeing? Like internally, Ryan Poles and his group and his coaching staff and Matt Eberflus, they're going to set a bullseye for 2024. And I think it's important for the outside world to understand where their bullseye is.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.